Welcome to the Dan Farr Show. I am Dan Farr, and what a gigantic week of sports we had. Tiger won his fifth Masters, first one in thousands and thousands of days, and he has rightfully so dominated news cycles. By the way, the Masters were down 11% when you look at last year's ratings. Today is also Jackie Robinson Day, and sticking with the Dodgers, Yasiel Puig returns to the Dodgers to face Clayton Kershaw, and there is a report that was released that Yasiel Puig used to rip up outfielder position cards in front of his outfielder's coach. There was a report in the LA Times regarding that. Well, my first topic is game one of the NBA playoffs, and I want to start in Philadelphia, who are actually currently leading the Nets by about 6 points with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. But I want to look at game one. Brooklyn won by 9 points, 111-102. The Sixers did cut that lead to 2 points, but D'Angelo Russell exploded in the second half of that ball game. He scored 26 points, and the first-time All-Star showing the Lakers and former president of basketball operations, Magic Johnson, the leader they're lacking. And we will get into Magic Johnson later in the show. We're going to get really into depth into that. For Philly, it was a mess, except for Jimmy Butler scoring 36 points. Embiid, you know, he was cleared only 7 minutes before the game. He was seen looking at Amir Johnson's phone. This is no big deal to me. I know it's been talked about a lot. To me, this is no big deal. Supposedly, Amir Johnson wasn't playing. He was inactive. And as he was pulling his phone out of his pocket, he said, "Oh, I'm checking on my sick daughter." And all Joel Embiid did was look in that direction. So this is no big deal at all. Brett Brown, by the way, said this is unacceptable and he'll handle it. And Amir Johnson ended up getting fined. So Brett Brown did handle it. It's also an NBA violation to have your phone on the sideline. But speaking of how big of a mess it was for Philly, Tobias Harris, who they traded for midseason, had 4 points. J.J. Redick fouled out and had 5 points. Ben Simmons, who's doing better today. I want to say this before I go in and bunt Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is playing good today. He's being a little bit more aggressive. But, you know, Ben Simmons, he just needs to shoot more. He needs to stop being so soft. He needs to stop being so entitled. Since Ben Simmons came into the league, he just kind of has, you know, this arrogance about him, this aloofness about him. And, you know, Ben Simmons hasn't really done anything. He's a great player, but he's not going to, you know, he's going to stay stagnant if he doesn't get a jump shot or at least shoot the ball more. You know, Ben Simmons, we understand if you can't make threes, if you can't make jump shots, but at least take them. It'll help your team out a lot. At least take them. But, you know, Ben Simmons, he's playing a little harder today, but he just needs to be stop being so soft and entitled. You know, speaking of that, he cried about booze. And, you know, in Philadelphia, you're going to get booed for everything and anything. Ben Simmons was crying about that. He did switch up and say, "Oh, I love being here," because, you know, his PR group or his agent told him to say that. But, you know, Ben Simmons can't handle the pressure, and we're kind of seeing that now. But, you know, like I said, Ben Simmons is playing a little bit better today. But, you know, in that game one, he didn't play well. And, you know, if you look at last year, people were talking about Ben Simmons like he's going to be the next LeBron. And we just haven't seen, you know, Ben Simmons materialize because his inability to shoot the ball. So, you know, he just needs to improve, you know, just at least shoot the ball, Ben Simmons. For Brooklyn, Chris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, they had 23 and 18 points apiece. Very solid players. Brooklyn just, you know, spreads you out and goes ISO. One thing about Philadelphia that, you know, you need to keep an eye on is Joel Embiid. He's wearing a knee brace. And when you see guys wearing knee braces, it's either because they have a bone bruise or because they have knee tendonitis. And, you know, the 76ers, they're not playing Embiid with a bone bruise. So he has tendonitis in his knee, and that's something that might never go away. So that's something to look for and watch for in the series, and obviously for the rest of Embiid's career. But with all this going on in Philly, I have Philadelphia winning in six. Brooklyn's a great young team, and they're going to be a good team next year as well. But they just don't have enough pieces. I see Tobias Harris coming to life. I see Ben Simmons playing harder. I see Joel Embiid staying healthy. I see Jimmy Butler continuing his play. Right now, they're up by six with about 2 minutes to go in that one in the first half. Moving on to Orlando and Toronto, probably the biggest shocking game of the weekend. First of all, Toronto is without OG Anunoby. He's out until the Eastern Conference Finals. But Orlando led this game by 16 points in the first half. And then it was back and forth in the final quarter. We had double-digit ties. You know, and probably the biggest story of this game, besides the game-winning shot that we'll get into, Kyle Lowry. He had 0 points, 0 for 7 from the floor, 0 from 6 from three. He only shot 1 2-point shot. And he's an all-star. He was 0-for-2 from the free throw line. I don't understand how Kyle Lowry keeps making the all-star team. We see this time and again. He's just not a good player in the playoffs. And, you know, Toronto could be limited by this guy no matter what Kawhi does. Because, you know, we saw Kawhi, he hit a clutch three. He hit a fadeaway with less than 2 minutes. He had 25 points in only 33 minutes, by the way. I'm not sure why Toronto's only playing him 33 minutes. I don't know why you're saving him. There's a chance he leaves Toronto. So you might as well get the most out of him. It's not the playoffs. But, You know, Kawhi was pretty clutch. 25 points in 33 minutes. He did airball the game-winning shot, though. So, you know, take that how you want to take it. DJ Augustine, he hit a game-winning shot for the Magic. He had 25 points. Just a nice three-pointer he hit for the win. Including DJ, the Magic had seven players score 10 points or more. For Toronto, Pascal Siakam did have 23 points. But, you know, Toronto just didn't play like we're accustomed to seeing him play. And, you know, the biggest concern was Kawhi Leonard playing 33 minutes. That's a bigger concern than Kyle Lowry scoring 0 points, in my opinion. It's the playoffs. Kawhi Leonard needs to be playing at least 40 to 45 minutes if he's, you know, truly one of the all-time great players in the league. I have Toronto winning that series in five. I don't see Orlando winning another game. I was shocked they won that game, but you know that was a great effort by the Magic, who had just been, you know, completely irrelevant. It was good to see him get a playoff win. Moving on to the Clippers Golden State Warriors game. Game two is tonight at 7:30 in Oakland. Game one, Warriors won by 17 points. Golden State started to pull away late in the second. Steph Curry just erupted this game. He had 30 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Only after three quarters, the Clippers were up 19 after three quarters. Steph did pass Ray Allen for most threes in playoff history. He has 386 career postseason three-pointers, passing Ray Allen's mark. DeMarcus Cousins for the Warriors, he fouled out, shot 4 for 12, and only scored 9 points in his playoff debut. Golden State had 21 turnovers. Klay didn't play well either. Draymond and KD played all right, but, you know, this was Steph Curry's game. For the Clippers, you know, they're starting two rookies. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lauri Marmet. And, you know, they never quit. And if you look around who's on this team, you think to yourself, they made the playoffs in the Western Conference. And that's exactly why Doc Rivers is coach of the year. Not Nick Nurse in Toronto, not Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee. It's Doc Rivers in L.A. I mean, what he's done with this unit is phenomenal. Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Shai Gilgeous, and Danilo Gallinari, they all played pretty well for the Clippers, not well enough to win, though. By the way, Patrick Beverley and Kevin Durant, they got into it. Both got a tech. On your seventh tech in the postseason, you get a one-game suspension. You know, Clippers are so tough. They never quit. Doc Rivers is such a great coach. I have Warriors winning in five. I have the Clippers stealing one game. I have the Clippers stealing one game, and that game's going to be tonight. I think the Clippers win tonight in Golden State, and that might be the last win they have, but they're going to win tonight. Golden State in five. Moving on, San Antonio 101, Denver 96. Denver's the fourth youngest NBA team. As you know, Nikola Jokic playoff debut. San Antonio led the whole game, literally the whole game after the first, second, third quarter. Obviously, they won the game. LaMarcus Aldridge shot 6 for 19. He was doubled, and that's what Denver's going to do. They're going to double LaMarcus Aldridge. DeRozan shot a poor 6 for 17. He needs to be better. Derek White for the Spurs. He had the game-winning steal. Rudy Gay, Brent Ford played well for the Spurs as well. But Denver, you know, it was more of a story about cold shooting. Denver was 21% from the three. No fast break points. Nikola Jokic, as we mentioned, in his playoff debut, he had a triple-double, but he only shot the ball 9 times. Part of the reason, you know, he was doubled as well, but he needs to be more aggressive. Similar to Ben Simmons, he's such a great passer, but you got to be aggressive when you're the best player on the court. And Jokic needs to do that if the Nuggets are going to win this series, which I think they will. Paul Millsap, Will Barton, Gary Harris, Malik Beasley, Jamal Murray, they all played well too. Jamal Murray missed a potential game-winning shot before that game-winning steal by Derek White. You know, I have Denver in seven. They have better players. And, you know, I think that first game was, you know, let's get the emotions out. Let's get the nerves out. A first career playoff game for a lot of those guys. But I have Denver in seven. I have the Spurs, you know, returning to obviously Denver, and that altitude's going to play a big impact in game seven. So I have Denver in seven. Moving on to Indiana-Boston. Boston won by 10 points. Boston was out without Marcus Smart, who's, you know, the heart and soul of that team. He's the best defender on that team. And this game was, you know, probably one of the worst games to watch. It was a poor shooting story of the game. 36% for Boston, 33% for Indiana. The Pacers did lead at half, though. Boston pulled away in the third, grew their lead to double digits. And Boston, you know, it was cold shooting by the Patriots, but the Boston Celtics do need credit for some defense, especially Kyrie Irving. Even Kyrie Irving was, you know, getting up into his man and just really, you know, pestering the guy, getting a few steals, turning him into easy buckets. And, you know, one thing we saw that I noticed in the game one is we're seeing a lot higher effort compared to the regular season. We're seeing guys play defense, guys, you know, energized and excited about playing defense. And you know, that's just so fun to watch and so refreshing to watch. Indiana only made 2 field goals in the third quarter, you know, so part of it was good defense, but, you know, they couldn't make anything. I do expect them to be better. You know, they play very hard, but just no offense without Victor Oladipo. You know, this series kind of comes down to DeMontis Sabonis and Kyrie Irving. You know, that's the Indiana's best player and Boston's best player. So obviously Celtics should win. The Celtics should sweep this series, but because of Kyrie Irving's attitude, because of the dysfunction, I'm saying Indiana gets one, and I'm saying Celtics in five. Moving on now, Detroit-Milwaukee. Detroit was without Blake Griffin, and it was reported that Blake Griffin, he's now out for the whole entire first round. So you know, expect more of the same. Bucks, you know, they have the second best odds to win it all. They led 69-43 at half. They ended up winning 121-86. By the way, Giannis had a double-double at half. The Bucks shot above 50% going into the half. It was 97-61 entering the fourth. Giannis didn't even play in the fourth quarter, but he still finished with 24 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 assists. George Hill, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, you know, they played well, all scoring a pretty good amount of points. Luke Kennard, if you know who that is, he's the one who led the way for Detroit, and you can kind of see why they struggled. If a guy like Luke Kennard's leading the way, Detroit gets smoked. Bucks, you know, Bucks had the most dominant win of the postseason, and like I said, they have the second best odds to win the finals, so you know, that's what you expect to see. That's what you want to see out of the Bucks. And, you know, when you watch the Bucks, you know, it's easy to get prisoner in the moment. But the Bucks, you know, they could challenge Golden State. Right now, after game one, you know, it's early. After game one, the Bucks are by far the best team in the East. You know, they were the number one seed, did have the most wins in the NBA regular season. But to see Giannis do it in the playoffs is refreshing, especially because Dwayne Casey, the Pistons coach, said, you know, we want to make Giannis think. He's such a great athlete. You have to make great athletes think. And, you know, I took that kind of as a shot to Giannis, you know, kind of questioning his IQ for the game. And Giannis just showed, you know, how dominant he is. And, you know, his ability to pass and, you know, get guys involved as well. Finished with 4 assists. Should have had more. Moving on now. OKC 99, Portland 104. This is an interesting game here. This is a really interesting game. 5-point win for Portland. Portland's one of the hottest teams in the NBA. 19-6 since the All-Star break. But the story of the game was Paul George. Banged up. Shooting shoulders hurt. Very banged up, you could tell. Portland was up huge after the first quarter. Enes Kanter had a near double-double after the first. McCollum and Lillard were hitting deep threes. Portland led by 19 after the in the first half. Portland was up by almost 20 points. And as I mentioned, the storyline here is Paul George's shoulder, his shooting shoulder. And Russell Westbrook, you know, I don't know if he's listening too much to the critics, but he should have shot the ball. He should have, you know, what some people would have said, pressed. He should have pressed. He should have went harder, looked for a shot more, you know, just play more aggressive, play like Westbrook, you know, of 2 years ago, of even a year ago. Because when you see Paul George is down, you got to bring your level of play up. And to his credit, you know, he kept trying to get guys involved, and, you know, that's what people knocked against Westbrook. So he's just trying to make his teammates happy, and he understands how important the team is. But, you know, I wanted to see Westbrook attack. You know, Paul George was down. You know, if you have two great players on the team, you know, the other guy's got to pick it up. I wanted to see Russell Westbrook be more aggressive. I mean, he still finished the triple-double, 24-10-10, shot pretty much 50% from the field. So a very efficient game for Westbrook. But, you know, I wouldn't have cared if he went 8-for-24, 8-for-30 even, because, you know, they needed him to be more aggressive. Dennis Schroeder was 5-for-17. They needed Westbrook to put the team on his back. And, you know, he kept trying to get guys involved, which, I mean, that's the point guard's job. But, you know, I wanted to see him be more aggressive. And I think the OKC Thunder could have won that game if we saw a Westbrook vintage aggressive game. But, you know, he tried to get the guys involved, and, you know, that's good too. But Paul George, his shoulder's got to be better. He shot about 14 threes. If his shoulder's really that hurt, he's got to drive more. He can't settle for the outside shot. You know, even Steven Adams struggled 8-for-14. As I mentioned, Dennis Schroeder 5-for-17. But, you know, this game, Portland came out, and I knew this. I knew there was no way Portland was going to lose game one. They lost 10 straight playoff games. They've been swept the last 2 years. There was no way they could lose this game one at home. They led for all but 23 seconds. I still have OKC winning in seven. And Damian Lillard, I want to say this. You know, he's phenomenal. His long-range ability is phenomenal. And to me, Damian Lillard's just as good as Kyrie Irving, just as good as Steph Curry. If you give Damian Lillard, LeBron James, and Kevin Love during the time Kyrie Irving had it, I guarantee the Cavs still win the championship. And if you put Damian Lillard on that team instead of Steph Curry, I guarantee the Warriors are still, you know, just as good as they are. But Damian Lillard's phenomenal, but I have OKC winning that series in seven. Going to be tough to win on the road in Portland. I wanted to say OKC in six, but, you know, Dame Lillard, TJ McCollum, the way Kanter's been playing. Kanter won't keep that up, but McCollum and Lillard, they will. They're pissed about last two seasons, so, you know, I have OKC winning in seven games. Moving on now to the final game of the weekend. Utah-Houston. Houston smacked them, 122-90. Houston is the hottest team in the NBA after the All-Star break. They're 20-5. By the way, this is something to watch. Clint Capella is sick, and so is Kyle Korver. That could be something to watch. You don't want a virus to spread throughout the locker rooms. Something to watch there. Clint Capella and Kyle Korver are sick. But 59-44, the Rockets led at half. The whole game, they were just the better team. And there's a reason why. We'll get to that soon. At halftime, Donovan Mitchell only had 7 points, 3 for 9 at half, finished with 19 for the game. So, here's the reason why the Rockets won easily. Quinn Snyder, who's regarded as a pretty good NBA coach, a very good NBA coach by some, came up with a game plan that was one of the worst game plans you could ever come up with. They let James Harden go right. The whole entire game, James Harden went right, and the guy just, went to the left and just let him go right. Do you know what I mean? They just let James Harden go right, which forced help over to James Harden, obviously, because his guy's now behind him. And then that opens up a teammate, right? Because the other guy's the help. So there's two guys on James Harden. He's going to throw a lob to Capella, find Eric Gordon in the corner, or just get a layup and draw the foul himself. I really don't know why you would do this. The Jazz haven't done this all year. And they pick a really bad time to, just play porous defense. And it's not even, their defensive effort was bad. It's just the game plan was horrible, allowing James Harden to go right. That creates fast break opportunities all night long for the Rockets. James Harden's one of the best in the pick and roll. And just going to the hoop, fast break. I mean, James Harden, he's the MVP of this league, in my opinion. And for them to do that was horribly, horribly stupid of the Jazz. I look for them to adjust that game plan. Harden finished with 29 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. Capella and Gordon had 17 and 16 each. And Houston, I have Houston winning this series in 6 games, okay? So a lot of people say Houston's not going to win the deciding game in Utah. I see them doing that pretty easily. They just have so many better players. Clint Capella's back. Eric Gordon's back. Chris Paul, James Harden, P.J. Tucker. Everyone's saying, they miss Abalamute, they miss Trevor Ariza. I don't know about that. This team is better equipped for what Mike D'Antoni likes to do, which is run and shoot threes. And these five guys, Tucker, Gordon, Capella, Harden, CP3, I mean, they all are doing that. Capella's good at roaming to the rim and whatnot. But, yeah, I have the Rockets winning this in 6 games. And, I want to bring something up that Harden said that I found kind of interesting. He said he wants to be better at dealing with adversity, the ups and downs of the postseason, the ebbs and flows. And, I think Nick Foles of the Philadelphia Eagles, now the Jacksonville Jaguars, really touched a lot of athletes because he was so open with what, was going on in his head. He preached about staying in the moment, about when adversity hits, the team needs to come closer together. And I think athletes saw him dethrone the big, bad, mighty Patriots. And they said, okay, let's take a note out of this guy's page. He's a killer. He's similar to, a Brady or Jordan in its clutchness. And, let's take a page out of Nick Foles' book. And I think that's what Harden did. So I have the Rockets winning this in 6 games. But, now I want to bring on Dom O'Brien and the professional gambler Jackson Walls. Jackson, I just talked a lot of NBA. This weekend you shot me a couple of your bets. I want to ask you, what were your takeaways from the NBA postseason? And can you talk a little bit about your bets, ones that you hit on, ones that you lost on, and, anything that surprised you?
Yeah, so I had one bet. I took the Warriors, the Milwaukee Bucks, Houston Rockets, and the Toronto Raptors. As you saw with the Warriors, Rockets, and Bucks, they all, won by double digits. Pretty convincing there. Raptors were favored by 9 points. And like you said, Magic were up by maybe 15 or 18 in that game. Raptors came back. They were ahead late. We saw Kyle Lowry had 0 points. And this has kind of been, recent history for Kyle Lowry. He's played pretty bad in the playoffs in recent history. So that continued. He's got to play much better for the Raptors to win. But so I lost that one. But that opened up the opportunity for the series price for the Raptors. So the Raptors to win the series before the game one, they were -8 to 1. So for example, that 800 win 100, that went all the way down to 3 to 1. And so I really like those odds. I think they're kind of undervalued there. So I went and jumped on the Raptors at -3 to 1 to win the series. I think, like you said as well, they can easily win that series 4-1, maybe worst case scenario 4-2. The Magic don't really have that superstar that you need to win in the playoffs. Raptors got Kawhi Leonard, who played pretty well down the stretch for the Raptors. So I like that there. I lost that bet, but it opened the door for another opportunity for the Raptors to win the series. I got that Warriors bet, Warriors to win the championship. That's looking good right now. And another bet for these upcoming games, I took all the teams who lost, all the home teams who lost game one. So Sixers lost game one at home. I took them today to win. They're only up by one at halftime. That's kind of a surprise. They're up by, I think, 10 points here in the second quarter. But so that's my first team. The Raptors, they lost at home on, I think, Saturday. So I got them to win this game two. And the Nuggets, they lost against the Spurs. They're at home. I got them in game two. And then basically for my other three teams, it's a 16 parlay, all six teams just to win. I got those three home game or home teams who lost game one. And then for the other three teams, I just threw in, you know, the Warriors who should win easily, Bucks should win easy, and then I got the Rockets for that 16. So big 16 parlay. Only getting 2-1 odds because a lot of these teams, I think, all of them are favored by a decent amount. But I really like this bet. I think those three home teams who lost will bounce back and even up the series 1-1. And then, you know, it's pretty much of a given that the Warriors are going to win. I'm surprised you think the Clippers are going to win game two. That'll be a huge shock to the world. I don't think it'll happen. But the Bucks should win easy. They should sweep that series with Detroit. And then I think the Rockets will win in five games with their series. But, yeah, so I lost that first bet, that 14 parlay. That opened up the door for the Raptors in the series, so I like where I'm at there. And then I got this, you know, 16 parlay here for these next six games.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree with a lot of your points, and thank you for bringing up 76ers are up 65-64. D'Angelo Russell has 16 points, and for the Sixers, Simmons has 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists, so Ben Simmons must have been listening. But Dom, you know, do you want to add anything to, you know, Jackson's bets or the NFL postseason? Anything about NBA playoffs and your team, the Clippers? I have them winning tonight. Jackson's shocked at that. Do you have them winning tonight?
No, I have them losing tonight. I think they're going to win game three out of desperation. And then they could steal one more just because they play good on the road all year. But I have them losing at six. And then I think Pacers are going to get swept. Bogdan Bogdanovic. He was the only player with over 10 points for him, and if that guy's your lead scorer, you're not even gonna score 80 points.
Yeah.
And then let's see what else there. Spurs. I think they're gonna probably win in five. I don't think the Nuggets. Nuggets are too young. They have depth and all, but they don't have the playoff experience. Jokic, he's gonna have some trouble if LaMarcus A.
I know what you mean. Yeah, both LaMarcus and Jokic are getting double teamed, but Spurs in five, to me, that's crazy. So you, based off their inexperience, you like Spurs in five?
Yeah. Plus, you got to look at it this way. Pop is going to outcoach
Malone
easily. And Pop's game plan for the playoffs alone, his game planning is unreal.
I agree with you there. You know, Doc Rivers, no question he'll outcoach. Greg Popovich, no question he'll outcoach whoever's next to him. But, you know, same thing with Doc Rivers. He'll outcoach with whoever's next to him, but I just don't think both those teams have enough firepower. Great coaches, but it's not enough firepower to win in the first round. But I do, you know, like your point. Anything else you'd like to add?
Also, want to add that the Bucks, they're gonna sweep the Pistons without Blake Griffin. Like, for me being a Clipper fan, I know what a team's like star player when you lose them in the playoffs. It's just immediate failure. Rockets, they're probably gonna sweep. What else is there?
I agree. That's the Bucks about it. There, sweep, by the way, yeah, I agree that the Bucks are going to sweep.
I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, "I'm not going to be here."
So that brings me to our next topic now. Magic Johnson. You know, I was so pissed off. I was so angry. The news broke on Tuesday, the day before our show last week, or day after our show last week. So I had to wait, you know, a whole 6 days to talk about this, but. You know, Magic Johnson, first of all, on a night where Dirk and Dwayne Wade get you know, honored and whatnot for their careers, Magic Johnson, he calls an impromptu press conference, and he steps down before the final game of the season. Right after Luke Walton's press conference, he steps down. I mean, everybody in the room was shocked. I heard in the video, you know, when Magic said, you know, calling this, you know, impromptu press conference to step down, I heard one of the reporters in the background say, "Oh, my God." You know, I mean, that's how shocking this was. It came out of the blue. He didn't even tell the owner. He didn't even tell Lakers owner Jeannie Buss that he was doing this. It was completely out of the blue. He says that, you know, he wasn't having fun. He wanted Magic Johnson's old life. he wanted to be able to congratulate players like D'Angelo Russell, who was a first-time All-Star, like Russell Westbrook, who you know did 20-20-20 for Nipsey Hussle. You know, he was tired of the backstabbing. We're gonna get into that part, by the way. Tired of the backstabbing. That's what a lot of people are you know determining directed at Rob Pelinka, who now has full power. We're gonna get into that. He called it a monkey off. Magic called it a monkey off his back. You know, stepping down. You know, he was never fully into it though. Magic Johnson. You know, he had so many other businesses and whatnot. So many other promises and obligations. He was never into it. According to an LA Times article, Magic Johnson, you know, had very limited office hours. Wasn't around. And, you know, he supposedly Rob Pelinka, we're going to get into this guy a lot, but supposedly Rob Pelinka would walk around the Lakers facility and say, hey, does anyone know where Magic is? Anyone know where Magic is? Just, you know, to spread his agenda of Magic Johnson's not here. By the way, so Luke Walton, as we know, he got fired from the Lakers, and Magic fully expected to fire Luke. Okay, he fully expected to fire Luke. Luke fully expected to be fired. Magic said he ended up not firing Luke Walton because of his relationship with Jeannie Buss. He didn't want to strain the relationship. And when I first heard that, I said, oh my God, Jeannie Buss needs to sell the team. If she's letting her emotions run the team, if she's letting her, you know, connection, her personal connection, off-the-court connection with someone run the team, then she needs to sell the team. But, you know, Magic made it very clear that he wasn't leaving because of that. You know, that's what he claims. I don't think Magic Johnson would just walk away from an opportunity like this. So, you know, I think we're going to get more into this story after the postseason, after the finals. I think we'll hear more about this stuff. I don't believe Magic just got up and left. I think there was a reason. Magic, you know, pretty much ended his press conference, you know, thanking the Lakers, saying how much he loves the Lakers, mentioning that they're one player away. You know, they have LeBron James. They have young players. You know, they have assets. They have a max slot. But here's the problem with the Lakers. They're run by someone in Jeannie Buss who doesn't know what she's doing. And, you know, I hate to say it. You know, this sounds, you know, horribly disrespectful, but Jeannie Buss has no idea what she's doing, and she just needs to sell the team. If the Lakers want to come up and be the Lakers, you know, well, that here's the problem. Jeannie kept saying, you know, the Lakers of old, they're not going to be the Lakers of old. You got to start over here. And I think the best thing for the organization is, you know, Jeannie, sell the team. You know, let her collect her, you know, what, probably $5 billion, spread it across with her siblings. And I think Jeannie Buss just needs to sell the team because her latest move has been probably her worst move. What she did was gave Rob Pelinka full power. It's not official yet because Rob Pelinka, LeBron James, and Jeannie Buss, they have not talked. They have not held their exit interviews. But according to a lot of people, Rob Pelinka has full power now. And Rob Pelinka is known as a liar. That guy's known as a liar. A couple examples are here. Supposedly Larry Nance, right before the trade deadline, going back 2 years ago now, he said, hey, Rob, you know, my fiance and I, we're kind of thinking about buying a house. You know, with the trade deadline approaching, you know, where do you think I stand with the Lakers? And he said, oh, Larry, you're one of our best players. We would never trade you, only if we can get a top three player. Well, 2 days later, Larry Nance is traded for Isaiah Thomas, who obviously isn't a top three player. Larry Nance was a part of a salary dump. He also lied to Kyle Kuzma over All-Star Weekend. Kyle Kuzma went to Rob Pelinka and said, hey, you know, am I going to be traded? And he said, no, Kyle, same thing. You're a great player. You're so important. We would only trade you for a top three player. You can make the case AD's a top three player, but if you saw that package they offered, obviously they didn't value Kuzma that highly at all. But yeah, since Rob took over, he's fired Luke. It was a mutually agreed, you know, departure, but obviously Luke Walton was fired. It was just out of respect for Luke Walton and Jeannie Buss. And by the way, Rob Pelinka, he stopped sitting in on coaches' meetings. And he stopped doing this probably halfway through the year. And, you know, how unprofessional is that? You know, why would you keep doing your job? How unprofessional is that? By the way, you know, Luke, he has a new job already. I'm happy for him there. You know, I personally think he might have should have stayed. But it's obviously LeBron didn't want that to happen. But, you know, Luke Walton did increase the Lakers' winning percentage by 13%. And, you know, the Lakers are looking at, you know, Ty Lue, Monty Williams, Juwan Howard. All three have meetings set up. All three are LeBron guys. There's only one option. The right hire is Ty Lue out of these three people. I personally, Jeff Van Gundy is a coach for me if I'm a Laker fan. But, you know, out of Ty Lue, Monty Williams, Juwan Howard, all friends of LeBron James. Juwan Howard has no head coaching experience. Monty Williams has a little bit in New Orleans. Maybe that's to lure Anthony Davis. Ty Lue, obviously, is the best option for the Lakers. But, you know, the way Ty Lue and LeBron ended, you would think LeBron wouldn't want Ty Lue again. But, you know, it seems like it's between Ty Lue, Monty Williams, Juwan Howard. All three have meetings scheduled. I think Lakers go Ty Lue. I think it's pretty obvious. You know, and the reason why a lot of people think Rob Pelinka has full power is because they're looking for a coach before a new GM and a new president of basketball operations. So I'm not sure if Jeannie Buss knows what she's doing. I'm not sure if Rob Pelinka knows what she's doing. I'm not sure if LeBron James knows what he's got himself into. But Dom, your takeaway from Magic stepping down and just the Lakers, I mean, they just capped off the worst season in franchise history.
It's not the worst season record-wise and all, but think of Magic. He was head coach of the Lakers at one point in the 93-94 season. He went 5-11. I don't think the guy knew how to run a team. He was just, he's Showtime. He's, oh, I'm flashy, I'm Magic Johnson. He's not really, he didn't know what it takes. I think he was fired and just forced to have this press conference just to clear things out of the way. He just wasn't doing it. He's the public figure. Like, he's your PR guy, but he's not your basketball guy. And
that's exactly why he was valuable, because, as I mentioned, Rob Pelinka's...
They weren't utilizing it, though.
That's true. And or maybe he wasn't around enough. But, you know, I agree with you. Rob Pelinka, nobody likes him. He's a liar. And without Magic Johnson there, do people really want to talk to Jeannie Buss, who, you know, hasn't really shown anything yet? Do people want to talk to Rob Pelinka, who's a well-known liar? But that's a pretty interesting take there. You think Magic was fired?
Oh, easily. And then I've heard news today that Luke Walton, the reason he left the Lakers, because he wanted a contract extension to get him through 2020. Uh-huh. And the Lakers weren't going to buy into that. They told him just 1 year at most.
Now, Jeannie would have bought into that. So that means Rob and Magic said no to that.
Yeah. So he wanted that five-year deal. And Vlade agreed to that five-year deal with him. Made him the coach right away. Like, we knew it before he was even fired from the Lakers, or mutually parted from the Lakers, that he was going to Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, what a shocking move. Speaking of that, we'll get through the coaches really quick. As you mentioned, Luke Walton to the Sacramento Kings. It's really weird seeing Luke Walton in that purple, the other purple Sacramento. It looks weird.
He's got a future there, though.
You know, I hope so, because, you know, I think he'd be a good coach. Steve Kerr went to bat for him. So did Phil Jackson. Those are two very good coaches. And Vlade Divac, you know, like you said, brought him in for 5 years. But Vlade Divac, you know, this guy's only remembered for one thing. It's being traded for Kobe Bryant. And you know, he made another horrible move. Dave Yeager, so it depends how Luke goes, but they fired Dave Yeager after Dave Yeager led the Kings to a franchise best record in a long time. Larry Drew was also fired from the Cavs. JB Bickerstaff was fired from Memphis. And David Griffin, the Cavaliers' former GM, is running the New Orleans Pelicans, a great GM, and now he's going to have full control to handle the Anthony Davis situation. Speaking of that, KCP said that the AD trade talk really hurt the team. He said that after the finale. KCP said Anthony Davis trade talk really hurt the Lakers' chemistry and the whole locker room, and you know, just more drama in LA. This report happened about 5 days ago. Supposedly Lonzo Ball almost had ankle surgery, which was egged on and prompted by Alan Foster, his former business partner, who stole $1.5 million from him. And the Lakers said nothing's wrong with your ankle, and Lonzo and his people said, no, we're getting surgery. And the Lakers said, if you do that, your contract's going to be voided. And Lonzo Ball's contract almost got voided. But Jackson, a lot here. Magic Johnson stepping down. Coaches getting hired and fired. KCP talking about the AD trade talk. Lonzo Ball almost have ankle surgery. But, you know, first tell me what you thought about Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I think Magic really underestimated all the work you have to put in when you're a GM. It was said out there that he would take almost a month of vacation in the summer, you know, with his friends and just hang out, you know, in a different country. You can't be doing that if you're the GM. You got to put all your time in, work 10-hour days. To try to make your team better. And I kind of think Magic, you know, he just wasn't really involved. He just looked back and said, hey, I have a great life outside of this. I can just go back to being Magic and, you know, praising guys like Russell Westbrook and other people like that when they play good and do stuff like that. So I think it was up to Magic. He just didn't want to come, or he didn't want to come back. But I think him and Rob were kind of not on the same page. And he probably could have fired Luke, and it would have been okay, but I think he almost wanted to fire Rob as well, and Jimmy wasn't going to have that. So it's just too much miscommunication, too much backstabbing. It's really a mess right now for the Lakers. It's almost the worst the franchise has ever been
history. I quickly want to just say before you go on, I want to say, you know, that was another great article I read in the LA Times, and it was just speaking about how Jeannie Buss, she needs to look out of the family. You know, the only reason she, you know, Magic's like a brother to her, so she brought Magic on without any experience. And, you know, Magic would have worked in a different role, like you said, Dom. If he worked in a role of just like ambassador, you know, just show your face during free agency meetings, that's it. Just a part-time job. That he would have, you know, again, he couldn't, you know, congratulate players, but I think he would have thrived in that role. I agree with you. He just took on too much, Jackson. And, you know, Jeannie Buss, you know, Rob Pelinka's Kobe's guy, right? And Magic, like her brother, and Luke was, you know, one of her, you know, former players. So, you know, Jeannie just needs to let go of all these personal connections and just run a business like a business. But Jackson, what else were you going to add to anything NBA?
Yeah, I think Jeannie is kind of the biggest problem here. She either needs to sell the team, like you were saying, or just completely step out of it and let the basketball people handle the basketball stuff and not try to make decisions on her own. She was never really the owner to begin with. It was her dad. And then the dad kind of passed it on to the brothers. And the brothers weren't really, you know, getting along. So then it went to Jeannie. And I think, like, over the last 6 years, I keep saying this, that Lakers are the worst in the NBA. And I think it's primarily due to Jeannie. And then, you know, it just spreads all the way down to everyone else, GM, coaches, players. So, like you were saying, Jeannie needs to just completely step out of it and be as less involved as she can. I would like to see the Lakers hire a different GM and get rid of Rob. I hope that happens. Thank God they got rid of Luke. That was a must. We can't just have the same, you know, head coach and GM as we had last year. But I would like to see the Lakers hire David Griffin, who was the ex-Cavaliers head coach or GM when LeBron was there. They got a good relationship, him and LeBron. They'll probably bring in Ty Lue. That'll help with LeBron as well. So hopefully we can get a new GM. That's kind of a long shot, it seems like.
Very big long shot. I have bad news for you, Jackson. David Griffin agreed to sign with New Orleans. He's now running everything for New Orleans. And it looks like Rob's going to stay because Rob's the guy, you know, leading the charge in this coaching circus, if you will. He's the one setting up interviews with Ty Lue, Monty Williams, and Juwan Howard. So, I mean, it's looking like a long shot, but I agree with you. I think Rob should have left. You know, I don't like Rob at all.
Yeah, the Lakers should still try to pursue one of these great GMs out there from, you know, maybe the Warriors or Jerry West, Pat Riley, or one of these good teams who have established a great roster. Hopefully they can try to go after one of those guys, but most likely won't happen. I don't think we'll get Jerry West. He's in a good scenario with the Clippers.
That's true.
And, you know, yeah.
It's not a bad job. You know, you, especially if you're an older GM, you come to L.A., finish your career with 3 years. You know, finish your career in 3 years, go out when LeBron goes out. It's not that bad of a job, but you just have to be, you know, used to a lot of pressure and expectations. But, you know, Dom, what do you want to add, you know, to coaches getting hired and fired? And, you know, I want to ask you about, you know, this Lonzo Ball stuff. You brought it to my attention. Almost had ankle surgery. Contract almost got voided.
So literally that Lonzo Ball situation, for me, I would avoid his contract just even thinking about ankle surgery without team doctor's consent. You can't have your camp controlling your body. Like, especially for him, the guy's had weak ankles ever since the UCLA days. And for him to say, oh, his Alan Foster, the guy who stole all his money, said, oh, unauthorized ankle surgery, this, that. That's just total BS. The problem with the Lakers is they're not going to be able to hire the person they want because no one wants the job. It's like, it's one of the jobs in sports. It's the most stressful. Like,
it takes a special person, you know?
It takes a special person, and all these special persons they're already hired, they're already on teams. There's no one sitting around right now that could actually progress the Lakers to be that playoff caliber, to go back to those glory days. And that's the thing with the Lakers. They're living so far in the past that the present's just folding in front of their faces.
Well, that's the thing. Jeannie Buss is just trying to, you know, recreate what her dad created in the 80s and 90s, you know, and that's just not going to – it's not the same thing. You have to start over, and that's why I think the best thing is just Jeannie selling.
And the thing is, once you get a GM, you have 8 guys not under contract right now for next season.
Yeah.
So you're going to be – you're gonna be calling veterans left and right. You're gonna have to trade somebody just to get more assets on your team. Because, come on now, Ingram, he's the odd man out, I believe.
It could be Lonzo.
Thing is, I'd rather trade Ingram right now just because he's a small forward. Lonzo's your point guard. It's harder to get a new point guard than it is to get a new small forward in this league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are talks Lakers could go get Kemba and then trade for AD. We'll see if that happens.
I don't think Kemba would mold with LeBron.
I mean, to me, he's a perfect second-tier player. You know, he doesn't have an ego, necessarily.
He needs to stay in a small market, just like Charlotte.
Yeah, the pressure with L.A., man. But, you know, before we get on to the NFL, do any of you guys want to add anything NBA-related? Jackson, anything NBA-related you want to add?
Not much, no. We got the playoffs going on here.
Yeah.
Philly has a big lead. I think they're up by almost 16 points right now.
Thank you for that again. All right, let's shift now to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, you know, we saw the report, the Bleacher Report, let out, and Aaron Rodgers being crucified pretty much by former teammates saying, you know, horrible teammate, horrible leader, this and that. Aaron Rodgers, talked back, said that, you know, it's the same two people always calling him out. One of those people is Greg Jennings, who has a pretty big role in the media these days. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, more importantly, all that little stuff. More importantly, Aaron Rodgers supposedly played with a knee fracture last week, or excuse me, last year. Rodgers with a knee fracture. You know, Dom, you know, your takes from Aaron Rodgers, you know, clapping back and personally attacking those two teammates. And then do you think it's true he played with a knee fracture? I'm not sure about that.
I believe it. He wasn't 100% last year. We saw that. He's just been banged up his whole career, just having awful O-lines around him with awful players around him. And I don't blame him for snapping on those two teammates. Like, Jennings, he wasn't great. He was only great because he had two of the best quarterbacks of all time throwing him lobs every and then the other guy –
it was a tight end. I can't think of his name right now.
Michael Finley or something like that. Something Finley, like that, yeah. It was like something Finley.
Jermichael Finley.
The guy's so irrelevant, we can't even remember his name.
Yeah.
And Brett Favre went out there and saying that he supports 100%. He said it last week, I believe, that he supports Aaron Rodgers 100%. He thinks he's the best in the league right now, and it's true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people would agree that Aaron Rodgers is the best in the league. Jackson, I know you're not on that train. You don't think A-Rodge is the best quarterback in the league, right?
I think Tom Brady is, and I mean, you can't really argue with that, but I'd probably give Aaron Rodgers second.
Okay, and Jackson, I want to come right back to you here. Joey Bosa, who's on the Chargers, his younger brother Nick Bosa, coming out of Ohio State, is supposed to be a top five draft pick, but there's been news that Nick Bosa, the younger brother, is hiding all his support for President Donald Trump on social media. And, you know, not only is he hiding his Trump support, but he's also kind of, you know, said some things that directed towards Kaepernick and you know, there's some concern. Do you want to bring this guy in the locker room? Is he going to divide the locker room? You know, what are your thoughts on Bosa? Do you think he's going to fall in the draft? What do you think about him hiding support for Trump?
I didn't know he was hiding it. I thought he was almost promoting it.
All his Trump love, pretty much.
Yeah, okay. I think the Kaepernick issue would be worse in the locker room than Trump. I also think that there's players out there, more than most, actually kind of like Trump more than we think. I don't think all we hear in the media is just bashing Trump, but I think out there in the real world, there's a lot more people who like Trump than who don't. I don't think it'll be that big of an issue. I don't think it'll cause him to form a draft. I think he was projected as number one by, you know, Kuiper and McShay, and still is. I think we'll see, you know, that quarterback, Kyler Murray, he'll probably go one. And I think number two, I'm not sure who has the second pick, but I think they'll take Nick Bosa.
The Niners.
You know, number two. Yeah. They need a pass rusher for sure. I think they'll grab Nick Bosa. He's just like Joey Bosa. I think he was even better in college. And we saw how good Joey Bosa was in his first couple of years, leading the league in sacks for a rookie and a sophomore year. So Bosa will for sure go in probably the top three picks, most likely number two. I don't think it would be that big of an issue. Like I said, you'd be surprised how many people, you know, in the NFL, black people in general, who, you know, may not support Trump, but they don't dislike him that much. So I don't think it's that big of an issue. He removed all his stuff from social media. Probably a good thing if you're going to get drafted and get paid that first contract. But like I said, it's not that big of an issue. The Kaepernick thing would probably be worse because, you know, Kaepernick was pro NFL. But, yeah, like I said, not that big of an issue. I think it was a drafted second.
I hear you. And, I understand what you're saying. I don't think he should fall because of his political views. But, you know, you definitely want to interview him and, you know, kind of ask some pressing questions about, you know, just make sure he's, you know, not, you know, a racist by any means by that, because we know how divisive President Trump could be. Dom, do you see any problem with Bosa, you know, first of all, even tweeting support for the president, and do you see him falling in the draft at all because of this?
There's zero problems with this at all.
Zero.
The thing with the NFL is, you have 53 players on your roster. It's not like the NBA where you only have, like, what, 12 or so? And they, like, they're in front of the media so much. Like, once he's drafted, he's at the end. He's going to only get, like, a couple press conferences a week at most. There's going to be nothing around him. And if you look at his brother is the same way. Big country boys, like, there's nothing wrong with it. I see him going probably two or three. There's reports this week that the Cardinals, they're leaning less away from Murray. They're saying they're about 60% when a couple weeks ago they're at 90% that they're going to draft him number one. So it's dropping. There's so many question marks around it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Speaking of Kyler Murray, he was actually in Arizona today. Excuse me. Kyler Murray was in Arizona last Tuesday. But here's the thing. I think you have to draft Kyler Murray, and here's why. You talked about it so much. Cliff Kingsbury raved about him so much. Josh Rosen has heard all of this. He deleted all the stuff on social media. I just find it so hard being able to bring back Josh Rosen with open arms that I think you pin yourself in a corner of you have to take Kyler Murray. And speaking of quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins was in New York today. And, you know, there's been reports that the Giants don't like him. There's been reports that they love him. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Draft's coming up. Next show, actually, we're going to have a draft special. But, you know, Haskins was in New York Giants today. Dom, anything you wanted to add to that?
So Haskins last week was in Denver. He showed up to the meeting in a John Elway throwback jersey.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you just don't do that to a normal team. There's reports today that Daniel Jones and Drew Locke visited with the Packers, actually.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Aaron Rodgers probably wouldn't be happy, you know.
Yeah, and then Panthers are actually looking at quarterbacks also, just with how with the injuries with Cam Newton and all. Yeah. They don't know if he's the franchise guy anymore just because how durable he is.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Carolina, they got some help for him today. They brought Chris Hogan in on a one-year deal and more signings around the league. Adam Thielen, a four-year, $64 million extension with the Minnesota Vikings. He's worth that.
He's underpaid right there.
You could make that case, but Kirk Cousins is so overpaid that he, you know. Sterling Shepard, 4 years, $41 million. What are the Giants doing? Who knows? The other team in New York, they brought in Ty Montgomery for a one-year deal. That's a perfect. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, a lesser version of Le'Veon Bell, but, you know, same player. He was a receiver who turned into a running back, can catch, can run. So I really like that signing for the Jets, under-the-radar signing. And, you know, quickly, you know, we have to talk about Carson Wentz. We talk about Leonard Fournette. We talk about Russell Wilson. But quickly, Rashad Mendenhall, former Seattle running back, excuse me, former Steelers running back, said Big Ben's a racist. Quick takes on that, Dom.
That was Mendenhall. I don't know why he said that. Yeah, Big Ben's a he could be a racist, but there's so many racists in the NFL.
I hope not. Jeez.
Oh, trust me, there is. It's just the thing is, Big Ben, he's never done anything racist in his life.
Well, we don't know.
That we don't know of. Yeah. And if we would have, it wouldn't happen in 2019. It would happen when he was at least 10 years younger. Mendenhall, he had a short career in with the Steelers. He got hurt way too many times. Mm. And I think he's just trying to gain media attention, trying to help out his boy Antonio Brown after he lost that Twitter bout with Juju Smith.
Uh-huh. All so, right. Yeah, no, I hear you on that. That's funny. Moving on now, Carson Wentz. Eagles had some press conference today. Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Jason Kelce all talked to the media. And Carson Wentz, you know, I wasn't happy with his response. He said, you know, his back stress isn't fully recovered, but he's getting there. And he hopes to be in May OTAs. You know, he hopes to be back in May. And, you know, did the Eagles make a mistake? I mean, if this guy's still not healthy, you know, how bad is that injury? Did the Eagles make a mistake? I'm not sure. You know, more NFL news. You know, now we're getting into kind of the criminals of the NFL here. Leonard Fournette, you know, he was arrested recently for a suspended license. He got a ticket for speeding, never paid the fine. License got suspended. And look, Leonard Fournette, he can't stay on the field. He's extremely immature. Don't be surprised if he doesn't get picked up right, you know, until right before week one where teams are desperate. Yeah, maybe someone goes down in preseason. You know, he's just not worth all this drama. And, you know, he can't, you know, if he was a great player, maybe, but he can't even stay on the field and he's causing trouble off it, you know. So Leonard Fournette, kind of a travesty, you know, fourth overall pick, and just seems like he's going down the wrong road. Reuben Foster, pathetic news out of the NFL. He's not getting any charges for his domestic violence. He's just, I think, maybe getting a fine. NFL fails again there.
Dan, I'm going to talk a little more on that. So, he got set up by an ex-girlfriend. There's multiple texts saying, like, he didn't do anything that, like, his ex was trying to, like, get people to get on board with her just so she could make some money. So what the NFL's doing is they're suspending him for, like, two games just for –
no suspension.
No suspension at all?
Just a fine, I think.
Just a fine?
Yeah.
That's where
– no charges.
Foster's – he's been really unlucky. I mean, he's done some dumb stuff.
Yeah.
But the dumbest thing he did, he didn't actually do. And he learned his lesson. They shipped him to Washington. Like, come on now. You're in San Francisco and you get shipped to Washington? That's a good enough, like, fine right there.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Moving on, more trouble out of the NFL. Current Philadelphia Eagle, Jalen Mills, was involved in a fight at a nightclub. He beat up pretty badly an NBA player. Wizards forward Devin Robinson and Jalen Mills got into a fight. Supposedly Jalen Mills put him down. The Wizards were so pissed that they released Devin Robinson, said, we're not going to give you a qualifying offer. You're done. You're not on our team anymore. And the Philadelphia Eagles said they are investigating the situation. Jalen Mills is a pretty good cornerback, but, you know, a lot of fans in Philly don't like him. So
he could be the odd man out. They have a stacked cornerback room.
You know, and I wouldn't be surprised. I said that I think, you know, he loses his starting job going into this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him on draft day.
That's not the biggest news, though, coming with the Eagles.
Jason Kelce. Yeah, share that one, please.
So in that press conference they had today, Jason Kelce, who's the starting center, he's a star. He's one of the best centers in the league.
Arguably the best.
He played through all last season with a broken foot. He tore an elbow ligament and a grade 2 MCL sprain. He still somehow managed to start all 16 games last season. So this man's literally out there with, like, bubble wrap on, trying to just get through the games. And he played probably one of his best seasons in his career.
He's one of the most diverse. He's just extremely athletic. He's incredible. And he called it, I got a few, bumps and bruises or something. So he just
dismissed look at it. Him. His brother's that pretty boy over there. Travis Kelce. And this guy, he's a warrior.
That's true. Now, you know, here's the biggest news out of the NFL. Russell Wilson has gave the Seahawks a deadline to give him a new extension by today, tonight at 11:59 p.m. And Russell Wilson said if the deal is not reached, he will never, ever sign a long-term contract with the Seahawks. Russell Wilson was on Jimmy Fallon's show, I believe. I'm not sure when this aired, pretty recently. And they said, come on, you know, come to New York or something like that. And he said, they won't let me get away. And Russell Wilson, who's very strategic and kind of robotic in what he says to the media, for him to say that, there's something to that.
Did you see Tyrann Mathieu today? He tweeted out.
He wants New York.
He wants New York.
Yep. And you know, so here's what I think. Russell Wilson's going to get the contract. I don't know about today. You know, I don't know about in, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours from now. But he's going to get the contract. I think he's going to be the highest paid quarterback.
It's going to be almost $200 million in that deal.
But here's the thing, you know, and then here's the other side of the equation. The team is looking to deal Frank Clark, defensive end, who's kind of due up for, you know, a payday. And are they dealing him because they want to free up money for Russell Wilson? Or are they dealing him because they're preparing to tank and they're saying, okay, Russ, if you want to be the highest paid, if you're going to act like a celebrity, if you're going to turn into a diva now that you're married to Ciara, we don't want you in Seattle, the Pacific Northwest. We don't want you here. We're going to trade you, and let's just start tanking now. By the way, Russell Wilson, as of right now, he's reporting to everything. You know, he's with the team. And let's say the deal doesn't get done. They don't get the extension. Seattle would most likely franchise tag Russell Wilson. So I don't see Russell Wilson leaving. You know, I see him staying in Seattle for his career. I see him being the highest paid quarterback. He wants a deal to get done in 5 hours. I think it gets done before the draft. You know, but some are saying, you know, look what they're doing. They're moving Frank Clark. Are they tanking? You know, is Russell Wilson turning into a diva? But Jackson, you know, what are your takes on Russell Wilson? And you know, this is big news. I mean, if the Seahawks lose their franchise quarterback and can't get a deal done, you know, what are your takes on Russell Wilson?
Yeah, it is pretty big news. I think Russ is serious about, you know, not finding if a deal doesn't get done by, I think it's the 20th.
No, he said the 15th, midnight. Which is today, 11:59 p.m., Monday, 11:59. So, I mean, he's talking about today, 5 hours, yeah.
That's pretty soon. But I think he's serious if it doesn't get done that there's talks he might go to the Giants, and I think he probably will because of that market, and it benefits his wife, Ciara, a lot, too. But if you're the Giants, you really have no choice but to make him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. The quarterback position is the most important by far on the team. Russ has showed he's won a Super Bowl. He's been to another, should have had a second Super Bowl ring. But he's a really great quarterback. The Seahawks really have no one else right now but Russell Wilson. He's done everything for him in the past couple of years. He's been hurt. He's been tough. He's been staying in there. Been playing for him. So, I mean, it's getting pretty soon. If it's tonight at 12, that's only about 5 hours. Mm-hmm. It's really not looking good for Seattle. And if you look at everyone else in that division, you got the Rams, who are emerging, went to the Super Bowl, Jared Goff. The Cardinals got the first pick. They could take Kyler Murray and be set for their quarterback, you know, decision for a while. Who else in that?
The Niners who had a great season.
Jimmy Garoppolo. So all the teams in that division have big quarterbacks. And if you're Seattle and you let Russell Wilson walk, that could end up, you know, tarnishing your franchise for a decade at least. So if you're the Seahawks, you really have to pay him, you know, make him the highest paid quarterback, you know, for give him a 5-6 year contract to lock up your franchise for a while, and then you can, you know, branch out and get a receiver here and there, get a running back, sure up that defense. But yeah, it's not looking good though. If we only got 5 more hours, you know, if you're in Seattle, it's not looking good right now.
Quick, Jackson, I want to ask you this: are you worried at all about Russell Wilson becoming a diva, or do you think he's just, you know, playing a hard bargain?
No, I wouldn't say. I don't think he's going to be a diva, and it's not necessarily a hard bargain either, because
he's deserving of it.
He gave the Seahawks about a 4-month notice, so they've had a long time to come up with the contract, and they've known about this deadline for a long time. So yeah. I don't see why not. I don't know how many more years he has on his contract, maybe just one or two.
I believe so.
But if you're Seattle, I mean, I don't see the problem with it of making him highest paid quarterback right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ticket sales, it's jersey sales, it's all that. Dom, what do you want to add about the Russell Wilson, you know, dilemma here 5 hours ago?
There's talks that the Seahawks really like Jacoby Brissett.
So, are you kidding me?
I think we might see a trade. And I can see Wilson leaving. What I think the Seahawks are doing is they're getting rid of everyone that was part of the Legion of Doom, like that whole 12-man thing, and they're going to start fresh. We saw that in the past couple years, getting all their old guys out of there, Sherman, Thomas, everyone. And I think Clark and Wilson are just the odd man out.
That's insane. I mean, Seahawks fans are going to go to CenturyLink Field with pitchforks if they get Jacoby Brissett in for Russell Wilson. Jacoby Brissett, to me, I mean, he's a perfect backup quarterback. But Russell Wilson, I mean, you can make a case he's a top three quarterback in the league. When it's clutch time, you know, there's not too many people you want the ball, you know, with besides Russell Wilson. We only have 2 minutes to go, and I do want to, you know, mention this. Some news out of the Alliance of American Football, the league that folded. You know, they had about 40 players sign in the NFL now, and they're not allowing players to go and sign into the Canadian Football League because they are preparing the process of filing for bankruptcy. So, you know, a small glimmer of hope, a small sliver of hope that the AFF could bounce back. And some more news here, you know, shocking news, Zion Williamson declares the NBA draft. Obviously, we all knew that was coming. He's the first overall pick, Dom. Do you think so?
Easily.
Jackson, do you think he's the first overall pick?
Yeah, by far, but it's a great draft. There's great players with R.J. Barrett and that John Morant, too.
Yeah, and, you know, just to end this show, you know, I just want to come talk about the Lakers' dilemma here. What they're doing is really stupid. They're letting Rob run everything. They haven't hired a president. They haven't hired a GM or announced that Rob's going to stay. I mean, I don't know what Jeannie Buss is waiting for. You know, if she's out talking to a bunch of people for advice, you know, the time has come for her to sell the team. You know, only about 50 seconds left. I'm going to give you guys a score update of the Philadelphia 76er game. Right now, it is Philadelphia, you know, 104-79. So kind of what we expected, Philadelphia to bounce back. Embiid has 21 points. Butler, 7-6-4. Tobias with 16. Ben Simmons with 18. J.J. Redick with 14. You know, now we're seeing the 76ers that we're accustomed to seeing. But, you know, the professional gambler, Jackson Wallace, thank you for joining. We'll see you next week. And Dom, thank you for joining again. We will see you next week. And next week is our NFL draft special. So stay tuned for that. The NFL draft is on April 24th, and our next show is on the 22nd. So, you know, stay tuned for that NFL draft coverage. Tons to get into there. But what a week in sports it's been. Thank you for tuning into the Dan Farr Show. We will see you next week at the same time and same place.